like to introduce Kara MacArthur. Kara is a researcher and senior program manager for the Abramson Center for the Future of Health, a joint effort of the Methodist Hospital Research Institute and the University of Houston. Her background is sociology and biomedical ethics, and her research interests are communication and decision-making in health. Thank you, and let's welcome Kara MacArthur.
Good morning. My name is Kara MacArthur. My colleague Nithin Rajan and I will be presenting on the Blue Scale, a novel in-home monitoring device for patients suffering from congestive heart failure. I have no relationships to disclose, but this research was partially funded by the National Science Foundation. We are a joint effort of the Methodist Hospital Research Institute and the University of Houston College of Technology. Our mission is to provide patients and health practitioners with the best available information for decision making, and we achieve this mission through cross-disciplinary collaboration in health research, technology development, and care delivery. Oops. We will discuss the general challenges associated with supporting people in managing chronic diseases and congestive heart failure, the disease this project addresses. We will discuss community-based research and how it can be applied to device development. We'll walk through how we're using the tenets of CBPR to design a novel health sensing system for people with congestive heart failure, and we will show how we went from a Game Boy to a scale. So I'll start with some key definitions of words we'll use throughout the presentation to make sure that we're speaking the same language, and I'll just let you read those for a second. So chronic diseases are challenging to manage because they require a person to make hard choices and difficult changes in behavior based on long-term consequences that are often far removed from the behaviors themselves. So in this matrix, if you look up in the far left-hand, upper left-hand corner, we have myopia. If you misplace your glasses, you know immediately that you are not following your prescribed regimen. You find them and the problem is quickly solved. In hypothyroidism, you forget to take your pill. Pretty quickly you start to feel the effects, and so the incentive is built in to maintain the behavior change, and it's immediately linked with your patient, with your actions. On the other pole in this bottom right-hand corner, congestive heart failure, obesity, hypertension, they're examples of diseases that are highly dependent on patients' actions, and yet the results are long-term, incremental, and hard for the patient to link with the actions that they're taking at the moment. So that's the challenge of managing chronic diseases. Congestive heart failure is what this project addresses, and it's a chronic disease where the heart fails to meet the body's needs, and as the heart's pumping action is lost, blood can back up in other areas of the body, causing congestion in the lungs, the liver, the GI tract, the arms, and the legs. As a result, there's a lack of oxygen and nutrition to the organs, which damages them and reduces their ability to work properly. Some of the symptoms are shortness of breath, cough, swelling, weight gain, fatigue. And congestive heart failure causes enormous public health burden. The annual US costs are in approximately $40 billion per year, which translates to spending on preventable readmissions to the hospital of across approximately $17 billion a year. And these are avoidable because about 50 to 60% of congestive heart failure hospitalizations could have been prevented through proper self-management. So our overall objectives are reliable, real-time health information flow in chronic disease management, to engage communities in health research and management, to foster collaborative academic and community research partnerships, to bridge the digital divide in an underserved neighborhood in Houston, Texas, to reduce barriers to healthcare in underserved neighborhoods in general. Our theoretical framework is community-based participatory research, which is research conducted as an equal partnership between academically trained experts and members of a community. Patient-centered decision-making, which is giving patients the information they need to make healthcare decisions when and where they need it. And technological solutions that are combined with personal support. That means that the family or caregivers, as well as the patient and trained community members, such as community health workers, are part of the care team so that the patient has the support they need to sustain self-management. This is especially important in an elderly, underserved community that may not be comfortable with technology. We don't want to just drop a technology there and then leave them. We worked with a community called Pecan Park in Houston. Houston is the fourth largest city in the United States, and it's a microcosm of the nation's health access and chronic disease crises. It's mostly Hispanic, a lot of immigrants mostly from Mexico. 55% of houses and apartments are rented. 41% of the adults in the community have less than a ninth grade education. And all of the schools have Title I privileges. We started working in Pecan Park about 4 years ago. We started with an ethnographic study where we asked two major questions. What are the sources of medical care for the community? And who do the residents trust to provide health information and care? And we learned some pretty unsurprising things, that the residents use a mix of traditional and allopathic sources for their care and their information about their health, and that they have definite trust issues with the medical care establishment, government, and also with the University of Houston, which is the large university that we work with that borders the community and has a tradition, a history of going in, doing research on the community, and then just leaving. During that study, we formed a relationship with Rice University and a nonprofit called Technology for All that were already in the community setting up wireless internet access to try to bridge the digital divide. We did a multi-system community assessment. And then for trust building, we did a one-year community-based service project. We formed partnerships with community partners and community advisory groups. We partnered with PTOs, the parent-teacher organizations, in all the schools to provide information and resources on health issues that the community board members identified. So wireless internet in Pecan Park is pretty cool. We have what's called the Rice Cloud, which is free Wi-Fi network for the neighborhood. Our partners Rice and Technology for All, and we have, between the three of us, three National Science Foundation grants to develop fundamental IT advances that address the unique needs of underserved communities in developing regions. And right now we have over 4,000 community residents under this Rice Cloud. And the point of the cloud for us is that it jointly serves as a community resource and a platform for test driving health sensors for a variety of chronic diseases. So based on our belief that people with congestive heart failure need reliable, real-time information about how their body is functioning to make the changes in their behavior needed to manage their condition, our goal is to develop a heart function monitoring device and system of care that is easy to use, inexpensive, scalable, and improves clinical outcomes and access to care in underserved communities.
So I'm going to take over at this point. My name is Nitin Rajan. I'm a researcher at the Abramson Center. And I'm going to detail some of the device development. My background is in bioengineering and applied mathematics. So it was a great learning experience for me to work with the community to help shape the development of this novel device that we want to explain to you. So here's how we envision the system working. Where we have individuals using a device, looks like a modified scale, essentially. The scale is the standard of care for heart failure, as many of you might know. But on top of the basic standard of care, we've built in some novel sensors and applications that I'm going to detail. And then, importantly, there's a software layer of individualized analytics. So we take each person's readings, and we're able to use predictive algorithms to try to assess where those people are on their personal trajectory through their chronic disease. And then finally, and most importantly, to close the loop, we have community health workers that we plan to work with to make sure that the adoption is there, that the people who use the device have trusted advisors in the community and in those health workers. And then finally, we plug in to nurse-led case management support centers so that we ultimately plug back into the hospital support system so that the individuals who are and at times pretty ill, can get the services they need, whether it's ambulatory care visits or even in some more extreme cases, proper funneling into the emergency systems. So the scale itself has at its core an innovative addition to the standard of care in that it can non-invasively track proxies for cardiac output. Up to this point, most telemonitoring systems dealing with heart failure really only looked at maybe blood pressure, weight. Some have pulse oximetry systems. We were able to, in the lab, validate our system to non-invasively assess the actual performance of the ventricle as it's squeezing. So we can see day-to-day how your heart is performing. And we're going directly to what we think is an early indicator of problems in this disease. We also want to make sure it was easy to use, and we want to make sure that it promotes self-management, because we have to have another core thing about the center was we want to empower the individuals to work within the system. And then, as I mentioned earlier, there's a software layer in the cloud that allows for a personalization that can reflect back to the user how they're doing in real time. So how do we get this non-invasive proxy of cardiac output? We use a combination of 3-lead EKG, photoplethysmography, which is similar to pulse oximetry, bioimpedance, and in addition to normal whole body water assessment, we also have a more in-depth cardiac impedance measurement, so we can directly assess using changes in resistance in the body the heart's pumping ability, and that's where we get our most direct measure of cardiac performance. And then finally the weight scale, which is the standard of care. And if we look at it compared to the cadre of other devices out there on the market and also being developed, you see there are devices like wireless scales, Philips, Intel have systems in place, but we believe that we need to measure more than this standard of weight. And interestingly enough, weight is very effective. It's been shown to be effective, but we think that where we can get some real gains is when we get directly to heart performance. And that's where the second device, CorVenus, is going as well. So you can see their approach is a little different, where they have an adherent device that's continually monitoring patients. This costs significantly more, and we've seen some research that people can be averse to having to wear something all the time. And then when we look at it in terms of service providers who are trying to provide disease management projects, I think we can plug in very elegantly into those solutions because they don't have enough direct assessment at the point of care, at where the patients are, and they could use devices like ours to get more return on prevention. So let's go quickly through the development process. We had a prototype that we initially developed, and this was before we really talked to many patients. And so you'll see that when we actually did some preliminary usability and acceptability studies, we had a lot of interesting feedback that changed the way we ultimately went with the device. We've iterated the device through, and throughout this process, we've continually gone back to the community to develop the device, which we think is ultimately going to get more adherence as we go through our studies. So the first device was more like a Game Boy. We thought it was great because that's a form factor that's been tested and widely uptaken. Unfortunately, with an elderly population, what we found was that this wasn't really what they were used to. They didn't grow up playing Game Boys. I mean, I did, and so I designed it to be something that I would use like that, but ultimately we realized that that's not going to be as important to them for it to be sort of a cool gadget. In fact, some of them were turned off by it. And we did use this device, though, to validate the non-invasive cardiac output measurements, and we did that in healthy participants, and we've validated against a gold standard in the hospital using Echo Doppler. So what do we get from that preliminary usability study with adults? We got, the design would be unfamiliar to the older patients. It's not as easy to handle for shaky hands, and we wanted to design something to introduce BMI calculations or weight calculations, and we needed larger, easier screen, readable screens, and ultimately we decided to not go with the portable device, and that's where we came about with this device, which was the scale. So I explained most of it to you, but you can see there are electrodes on the bottom that are related to the EKG, the pleth sensors on the top left, and you can see that this, you know, the screen is much larger than on the Game Boy type device. We did another usability study in Pecan Park in the Feria de Salud, which is a health fair with over 5,000 participants, primarily Hispanic once again. It was a mixed method design where we had open-ended questions along with survey results, and we got 50 people to give us feedback there, and what we found was we got a lot of positives in terms of people thought it was effective, efficient, and they had high satisfaction, and they were interested in the scale. I mean, pretty much everyone said, when can we get one in my grandmother's house or in my house if I had CHF? And we even got 20 potential subjects signed up for future studies, and I think this was in large part due to a lot of the work we did with CBPR, because they knew us when we went to the fair. We were a trusted source of information, and I think without that we wouldn't have gotten this type of reaction. So ultimately we're redesigning it currently to make it more bilingual friendly, improve the screen once again. I mean, the interface point is the screen, and I can't stress how important it is that be easy for the people to use. We're going to try to change how many readings we're asking them to take. Normally we were asking them to take 3 to 4 to 5 sometimes a day, and that was way too much from a compliance standpoint. So we're looking at more like 1 in the morning and 1 in the evening. And we just made the order of measurements a lot more integrated. So now it's basically one maneuver instead of them having to do each individual measurement separately. And so we planned to validate all of our work with the community in the spring of next year, where we will actually place these devices in homes of CHF patients. We'll have a mixed methods design where we have a survey. We'll have what I think is the most important section is the observational videos, where when we go into the homes and train them with the devices, we videotape that interaction, and we can get a real better understanding of how people interact with the device. And then throughout that process, we can passively collect data and ultimately get some qualitative assessment at the end with open-ended discussions. And I can't stress once again how important it was for us, the CBPR aspect of us, of our intervention. We spent a whole year working on diabetes, and we had a poster yesterday that talked about, 2 days ago, that talked about it. Before we could really get to something that we were initially talking about, which is CHF. So I think one of the takeaways was that you might go in with one idea of what a community wants, but you have to work with them to give them something that they think is valuable before there's a real trust there where you can get what you want out of the relationship. So in summary, the challenge is, you know, managing chronic disease, and we think the combination of technology along with CBPR and individual support in the community and community buy-in, it can address that, and we're excited to have that validation study in the spring. We're developing partnerships, but it did take a lot of time and resources, so that's something that people need to be really aware of when maybe they have, you know, pretty aggressive timelines due to funding constraints and program constraints. It might take a lot longer than expected, and we were really excited about the fact that our device design was iterative, and we think that ultimately if we had just been in the lab developing design for a product, we would have come out with a Game Boy and tried to test it this spring, and we probably would have gotten much worse results than after we went through this iterative process and now have a scale that we think is going to have a much better chance of being used. And I'm looking forward to the question session afterwards. Oh, sorry, and we definitely can't forget to thank our partners, the CBPR participants, the residents, as well as the National Science Foundation.